Let us join our hearts in prayer once again, please. Our Father and our God, Lord, once again we come before thy throne, and Father, we have invited thy Holy Spirit and you to be present with us during this service, Lord. I ask now for my blessed sermon in such a way that I mean to everyone that's here. Father, help me say something that would be a benefit. Help me say something that would glorify thee and praise thee. Father, help that this sermon might cause someone to be closer to thee as we leave from this place this day. Father, just bless our time of worship. Bless the word as it's read. Bless the word as it's expounded upon. Bless the word as it's meditated upon. And Father, believe, may we continue to think about who you are and what a great God you are and how awesome thy power and your promises are to us as your children. Father, bless us this day. We hear in ears. You bless me with speaking lips. And Father, in all things, may you be praised. May you receive glory and honor from what's going to be said this day. And Father, we just thank you for your love for us. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn it just over a few pages from where we had our call to worship and look in the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Again, I want to read 13 verses on this one. In days past, I've been somewhat hesitant about reading a lot of scripture. But I find that when God's people will listen and meditate upon what's read, it's a very effective thing to set our hearts to worship. And so I have tried to read more scripture and preaching and because I feel like it is reaching a desired end. So in Exodus chapter 6, and I'm beginning to read verse 1 and read through verse 13, and listen to what it says to you this morning. It says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shall thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And he said, I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the birds of the Egyptians, and I will lead you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning that which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them charge unto the children of Israel, and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." Did you notice how often it was here that God said, I will? Did you notice how many times he said, I will do this, I will do that, I will do that? Did you notice how many times he said, I am the Lord? And I think what he's doing now, he's giving us a message. And as he gave them a message, the Bible says those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And if we have nothing else to learn this morning, the God says, I will. There's things that God says, I will do, and he does those things. And there's nothing that would stop his hand. The Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. And what he said, I am the ruler. I am the one over thee. My word stands. And as I read in chapter 3 this morning, our call to worship, where God told Moses, he says, I am that I am. As we look at that, I want us to understand this morning that we serve an awesome God. And we think that we, today I think people say, well, we treat God any old way. We treat his son any old way. We can be faithful to him. We can obey him. And if we don't want to, we can find something we better do. We can go and do that. But the Bible, he says this, that there come a day when people's heart will be hardened and they'll walk in their own precepts. But he still says that he loves us and he will bring us back. And to me, this is one thing that I think today that maybe as ministers and as preachers and even the gospel that's being preached today, that we go so often on those things that you just treat God any other way. He's like a grandpa and he'll just love you anyhow. But you know, my Bible tells me that God says that if we love him, we should keep his commandments. It says so often, I forgot how many places it is in the Bible, where he makes it to the children of Israel. He said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And he said, a blessing if you follow after me, walk in my precepts, and do those things I tell you to, and a curse if you do not walk with me. And what he, and then Joshua, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as I've studied the Word of God, he does not take kindly to his people doing disregard for his will and not striving to follow after him. And as we look at this morning, we see here that here's a people that God has chosen as his people. They have gone back to the time of Abraham. It goes back even to the book of the beginning of the first chapter of Genesis, really, when he talks about what he'll do for his people. It carries it through the book of Revelation. He tells us what has been done and what will be our future. And so as I look at that and I think about it, here is a people that God made a covenant with their forefather, Abram, some 460 or nearly 500 years previous to that. He told Abraham that he was going to give his descendants the land of Canaan. But he also told him that there would be a time when they would go into bondage, that they would be in bondage, but he made a promise that he would deliver them out of that bondage. Now we know, as we go back and we study the Word of God, we find that where Abraham, as he had a son, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one thing that amazes me as I study the Scriptures, how often that he comes back and he references the fact that he is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And brothers and sisters, when I think about that, it thrills my heart to think to know this, that these old patriarchs that was beginning the time when God began to deal with covenant issues with the people, as far as being his people, that today that same God is our God. You might say he is the God of today as well as yesterday. And I think when we look at what he says, I am that I am, and then he says, I am the Lord, what he's saying there, I wasn't just in days past, I won't be in the future, and I'm not just for today. But anytime you look at it, I am the great I am. I am the past, I am the present, I am the future, and that is the way it is. Jesus Christ says, I am. I am the light of the world. He told, and there's so many places where Jesus says, I am. We know this morning that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a great mystery. But as I look at it, think about it. God says, I am. Jesus Christ says, I am. And then think about what the Holy Spirit would do. The Holy Spirit would be representing the great I am of God and Jesus Christ as he deals with us on a daily basis. So as I look at this thing and give you a little history, and I think you know this, I don't think I need to go back and rehash it for you. But if you recall Jacob had a son named Joseph, and they were jealous in that family because they were a different children. He had 12 sons, and they sold Joseph into slavery, and Joseph was sold into slavery into an Egyptian, and he was in Egypt for a long time, and he went there as a slave. But then God, and this is a lot of preaching in this, God dealt with him the best way that he can interpret dreams, and he interpreted dreams of Pharaoh, and he was eventually elevated to second in command of the whole land of Egypt. And this is God's providence. God uses those adversities of life to bring to a place that will be of service to him. And as he was in the land of Egypt, first as a slave, then he was thrown in prison because of false accusations. and then let out of prison, but that's when he interprets the dream about the years of sin and the years of want. And then Pharaoh put him in charge of looking after the years when they would be a famine in the land. And so they were there, then Jacob, he was still down in Canaan land. And it became so bad down there that eventually what they did, they just gave out of money, they gave out of food. And so Joseph, knowing who they were, brought them into the land. They just so much you can't get it all in, but they were carried into Canaan land, out from Canaan land to Egypt, because Egypt had been their food because of what God had showed Pharaoh and Joseph had interpreted. Then Joseph made plans to keep it. And so the nation of Israel was kept alive by the providence of how God had blessed a boy named Joseph. And so as they went into the land of Canaan, as they left the land of Canaan going to Egypt, it was so amazing how things happened. Joseph had reached such a place of prominence with Pharaoh that he was able to get the best land in Egypt for Israel, and that's Jacob and his family. 80 souls went into Egypt. Now, these years later, and the way I understand it, about 400 years, they had grown so rapidly as far as population that Pharaoh began to get afraid of them. And he was afraid they'd overrun. They said, well, if we must have a battle, these Jewish people would join the enemy and we'd just be defeated, or we'd just be. And so what happened there is simply this. They made slaves out of them. The people that once were favored with special privileges under Joseph, time came and time went so that they became enslaved to the Egyptians. They were building bricks. They were building things that was a very hard work. And they begin to cry out. They begin to cry out to God. And if you notice in the passage this morning that I read, he says, I've also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. They cried out to God. Now there's a lesson there this morning, brothers and sisters. When God's people, when we become so in bondage and we need relief, we need to cry out to God. And then my way of saying this is they cried out to God. God heard those prayers. And I'm going to say prayers. I cannot help but believe they were praying to God and God heard those prayers. And now he began to raise up a man some 80 years before their deliverance. A man named Moses was born and hid in the Nile River to keep his life from being taken because of the number of Jews that were being born there. 40 years he was raised in Pharaoh's house because as he was in that river, the Pharaoh's daughter came and found a little boy named Moses, a little baby named Moses, sitting there in the river, and she carried him home with her. And he was reared in Pharaoh's house for 40 years. And it was so amazing. See, God just intervenes in so many ways. And I'm afraid I'm not giving you enough detail this morning, but they were there, and little Mary and his sister, she was watching little Moses in the bulrushes. And she told Pharaoh's daughter, she went to Pharaoh's daughter and said, you know, so I can find you a nursemaid for that baby. So what did she do? She went and got them. Moses' mother brought in Moses' mother raised him in Pharaoh's house. And then as they were there, see, this is God's promise. He was preparing for 80 years later, or 40 years later, by that time, 80 years, preparing 80 years ahead of time to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. Then what happened? One day, Moses knew who he was. He knew that he was a Jewish boy. He saw the Egyptians having harm and hurting a Jewish fellow, and he killed the man and buried him. And then a little later on, he saw two Israelites fighting, and they said, oh, you're going to kill us. So he had to flee to save his life. So he left Pharaoh's house. He went to the backside of the wilderness. He went to a man and cared to stay with a man named Jethro. He married his daughter, but he was a keeper of sheep. And here he stayed 40 years. Now think about this. Here, 40 years in Pharaoh's house, 40 years in the wilderness. And what was God preparing him for? How many years did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. I thought about this a lot. Now, 40 years he's out keeping sheep in the wilderness. I believe this was God preparing him to lead the children of Israel, because he knew the children of Israel were going to be disobedient. So here, 40 years, that's 80 years. And he's on the backside of that desert. And as he's on the backside of that desert, the bush starts burning. And he looked at it. And as he looked at it, it's something that's highly unusual. But I saw one thing as I studied this recently. And Moses said, I'll turn aside and see about this. How often do we see something that God is trying to speak to us? And we say, well, that's unusual, but we don't take time to examine it. But he took time. And Moses said, this chapter 3 of verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight while the bush is not burning. And so he turned aside. You know, most of us say, well, that's strange. We're probably going without our business. You say, well, maybe I'll read about it, something like that. But you say, well, he was the only one back there. He was the only one who said, yes, I think it was special for Moses to see that. But he said, as he went there, God spake to him. God spake to him, and he called him. He says, you know, pull off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Anytime we're in the presence of God, whether it be in our home or whether it be here in church, and when we feel that presence of the Holy Spirit of God dealing with us on a one-to-one basis, brothers and sisters, we're on holy ground. I believe that. And I believe today one of the things that is lacking among us as God's people is the fact that we don't turn aside, we don't take time, and we don't stop and think and see what God has to say to us. Most of our prayers is, Lord, bless and help me and let me get on about that day's business, instead of just stopping and seeking his leadership. I believe today that as God's people, we need to turn aside. Just while you hear me so often, is say, take a little time to meditate. If it's just 10 minutes a day, put everything aside and stop and listen to God. Seek out God. Take a time of prayer. Take a time of reading the Word. But just take time. But as the psalmist says, be still and know that I'm God. I believe we need that. I believe I need that. And so often we get so consumed with the affairs of the world that we say, I'll do that tonight. Tonight we're all tired and ground all day and we go to sleep. And so as I think about that, take time to turn aside. How often do I read the scriptures where Jesus, he carries the apostles aside and says, come over to the side, come over for a little while. He's like, we need to do that. I've seen this out there. Moses turned aside and then he had that conversation with God. And God said, well, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And then what I read to you this morning, because God now is telling him it's come time that he has to do that. And he spake unto Moses, he said, I am the Lord. And then he tells him, I appear unto your forefathers. And I established a covenant with them. Now what I want us to see right here is this, that when God makes a covenant with his people, he's going to keep that covenant. Now that covenant is a promise that God has made to us. And as I look at that and I think about it, a covenant normally is something that is an agreement between two people of equal stature. But God's covenant, what I find is when the covenant was made concerning the Ten Commandments and the law, the dietary law and all those kind of things, he presented to the people, they said, oh yes, we'll keep it. Well, they couldn't keep it. The second covenant, the covenant of grace, is where God says that I will do this. I will do this, and I will see to it that it's done. In Jeremiah 31, he says, and this is a new covenant I will make them. I will put my laws in their heart and write it on their mind, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So here's the covenant. God has made a covenant with the people, with their forefathers, but that covenant is renewed every generation. I believe that, Brother Eddie. That covenant is remade you ever. And God's covenant that he will be our God and we will be his people. I cannot help but to believe that covenant is a covenant that God is keeping today with us. And he is saying to us, fall after me, be obedient to me, reap the blessings that I have laid up for you. But our God is a covenant-keeping God. His promises that he makes, he says, I will. Did you notice what he says? I will, I shall. And I think about it a number of times. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. the angel came to Joseph, which he was concerned about the baby that Mary was carrying. And the angel said to Joseph, and she, Mary, shall, didn't say might, didn't say could, said shall to, but said, and she shall bring forth a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You've heard me say that so often. He's got a people, and his people he will call his people. Romans 8 tells us that. Those who he foreknew, he called. And brothers and sisters, when he calls, we need to listen. And those he called, then he says he's justified. And then he goes on and he talks about even glorification. But as we look at it, I want you to understand this morning that the God, the great I Am, is a God that will do all that he has promised. And do we know all that he promised us? You know, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. What are those things? Those things that we need to live. You go back and study that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. But then he tells us other things. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, my Father will honor you. These are things that he says that we'll do. But he keeps saying to us in this passage here, as he did to Moses that time, I am the Lord. I think he reiterates this so often to let us know that he is the God of power. He is the God that is self-existence. You go back and you look at it, he says, I am him that I am has sent me. And what is he saying? Did you think about this moment? He is just really saying, I am that I am. Always been, I don't understand that. Had no beginning, will have no end. But he's, I am God. He's self-existent. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. In the beginning, it doesn't say how it came about. It just simply states that in the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of what we know is time today. He created. He spoke. He spake it. And it came into existence. That's God that we serve. He says, I am that God. Then he is the God of our salvation. He also says in this passage here, he says, I was known to your fathers as the Almighty, but not by the name of Jehovah. I tried to send it out of this. We know that Jesus has all power given to men in heaven and earth. But he's Almighty. Jesus Christ is God, you know. He's the God the Son. And then there's God the Father. But then he says, hey, God spoke unto Moses that I am the Lord, and he used that word Jehovah. If I understand it correctly, it's right here. God is the Almighty God, but he's a Jehovah Almighty. He is. Jehovah is a compassionate term, a caring term, a loving term. I think I got that right, buddy. I think I got it right. Jehovah God. And he says, you know, when Abraham offered up Isaac, the word used there is Jehovah Jireh. Jireh, God will provide. And I think when we look at Jehovah, it's just simply compassionate. The Almighty God, he has power, all power to be compassionate. He has all power to give. He has all power to do of his intent. He has all power to do that. And so really he's saying this in this passage here. He says, I am God that I am. I've always been, will always be self-existent with all power and all majesty and all glory and with all love and all compassion. And then you might go a little further when he says, I am that I am. He's simply saying to us this morning, I have power sufficient to keep everything that I promised you. The word does not appear in the Bible, but our God is sovereign. He's a power within himself. Today we talk about a sovereign nation. A sovereign nation is only sovereign so long as they have power to enforce their ideals and their precepts. But our God is sovereign because he's a power within himself. And he had a conversation with Brother Job in the book of Job. He said, Job, where were you when I prayed in the world? Who advised me? Nobody advised him. old King Nebuchadnezzar, he was one in the book of Daniel. He was turned out of the pasture. He came back and he saw the glory and the power of God. And he said, there's none that can stay His hand. There's none that can stay His hand. We serve an awesome God this morning. We serve a God that has loved us. We serve a God that has made awesome promises to us. We serve a God today that has made those promises that enriches our life and when we walk with Him. Hasn't He told us He'd never leave us? You hear me preach this a lot. Haven't you heard me say that He said that I'll not put more on you than they able to bear? Haven't you heard me say that He has promised His people I'll not put more on you than you're able to carry? I'm just putting in the days for now. He says, I'll not put more on you than you're able to bear. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And as our Bible study this morning, Naomi, she had those peaks of adversity. And yet the Lord was gracious enough. He carried her through. We look into this today. God, He's sufficient. May I tell you that this morning? He's sufficient for you. He's sufficient for me. He was sufficient for the miracles in the Old and New Testament. He was sufficient for all the promises He made because He has power to enforce everywhere. And when I think about the power that He has, when He says, and she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. I got strength, and He's got strength enough to make sure that He has the knowledge, He has the power, and it's His son. And then God comes. He sends His son, Jesus Christ. He comes, and He says, I am the way. You know, people today say, oh, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. No, there's one way. One way, and that's Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's those today say, well, you can do enough good works. So that's taken care of. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but truly by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, through faith in that know you saved. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works that we would be boastful. Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ, He is the way, the only way. And he borns His people. He says you must be born again. And we cannot born ourselves naturally. We cannot born ourselves spiritually. And when the grace of God comes and forms us again and gives us a new heart and a new mind and shows us the things of Christ, then we ought to rejoice. We ought to be thankful because God does provide for His people. He went on and said much more. He's talking to Moses there. He says, in verse 7 of chapter 6, He says, and I will take you to me for a people. He's still doing that today. And I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Brothers and sisters, today God still, through the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit being God, comes and brings us out to bring us in. Let me say that again. He brings us out of darkness and utterness and ignorance of sin to bring us out of that and bring us into the glorious and bright and sweet fellowship of Jesus Christ. Paying our sins is and making us as if we've never sinned. He brings us out to bring us in. He goes ahead and Moses tells him, says, well, you know, they said they're not going to listen. So if they're not going to listen, how is Pharaoh going to listen? And the Lord spake unto Moses, and he told him, he said, you know, he said, I gave them a charge. He gave a charge, and that charge was a commandment. And gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and to the Pharaoh king of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to say to us this morning, I don't believe anything would ever get the children of Israel in Egypt because He gave a charge. Now He used 10 plagues. He used 10 plagues. And they were awful plagues to tender the heart of Pharaoh. But He also said, you know, I'm going to show Pharaoh who's boss. And He did. And it finally came down to the point that Pharaoh said, take it. In fact, it was ready to drive them out. And when they left, he changed his mind. and we know his army perished in the midst of it. But I want to know, if there's anything this morning I want to say, just simply this. Our God, and when I talk about our God, I'm talking about the Father, God the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all being God. They have a will, and they will do what they have promised. And no man can stop them. They shall do what he has proclaimed will happen. Just as surely he made a promise to Abraham that his heirs would possess the land of Canaan. And we know that they did. Moses led them right up to the banks. And they rebelled that we can't go in. They wandered 40 years in the wilderness. That's where Moses' 40 years in the wilderness paid off, because he led them. But then they came back and Moses sinned and he wasn't able to allow to go in. They determined to land. But a man named Joshua, carried the children of Israel across the river Jordan. And they possessed the land. See, that's probably almost 600 years had been that God made the promise to Abraham, your children will possess this land. 600 years later, by the mighty hand of God, he said, I will, and he did. The children of Israel possess the land. Brothers and sisters, this morning, there's a land that we can possess, and that land is known as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And where do you enter into that? We're born again in the Spirit of God. We know that we're his. And in obedience. My Bible tells me that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that just tells me if we do what's right. He says, follow me, obey me, be mine, and I'll bless. And so if we do those things which are right, what will we have? Righteousness. We do what's right. There'll be peace. And peace with them. And peace comes that great joy of being in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the great I am. The same one that spoke the world into existence. It's the same one that will carry us to heaven one day. And I'm thankful for that. Oh, the greatness of the God that we love and the God that we serve. We serve an awesome God. And he will, and he shall, and he remembers, and he hears, and he reacts. He delivers his children. I'm thankful for that this morning. May God bless us as we meditate upon what I've tried to preach to you this morning, that you'll know that God does not break promises, and God's promises are sure and steadfast. Brother Peter says about the precious promises of God, and they are precious. They're so precious. And I find one of the greatest. In this life, we can have peace if we do what's right. And with that peace comes joy in serving the Lord. And there's great blessings in this growth of this great blessings to serve an awesome God that loves us. His Son loved enough to die for us. And may we as God's people love him enough to follow him and live for him. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we thank you for your word. We're thankful for the types and the shadows and the things of your word that tells us that you are a God of power, that there's none besides thee. And Father, as we look to thee this morning, I pray for the best each person in this congregation to be closer to you. Help us to walk with you. And Father, bless us, forgive us for any failure, and help us to believe with all our hearts. All these things we ask in Christ's name. And amen. This morning, there should be one more that have a desire for all the Lord's people here praying. We give an invitation. We sing hymn number 86. As we sing, there'll be one more here this morning. Have that desire. Come forward, make your request on this evening with Christmas on the time. Number 86.